So I'd like you all to pretend for a moment that you have some sort of item or some object, and it's something that you're ashamed of. This object is something that you really, really don't want anyone else to find out about. Maybe, for instance, you failed a test that everyone else in your class passed. So it's something that you just are really ashamed of. You don't want anyone else to find out about. So what would you do with this item? Would you try to hide it? Maybe you'd think to throw it in the trash. But what if, after you threw it in the trash, someone came by and pulled it out and saw it? Or maybe when they pulled the bag out, the bag ripped and it spilled out onto the ground for everyone to see. Well, maybe you'd think better. Maybe you'd think you'd bury it. After all, if it was underground, then no one would find it. But what if while you're digging, someone saw you digging and went by later to unbury your object? Or maybe somehow an animal comes by and digs it up? It could be hard to find a good hiding place. We often want to treat our sins in the same way. We feel so ashamed of our sins, so guilty, we just don't want anyone else to find out about our sins, that we often wish that we could also hide those sins somehow. Now, probably the best place to hide anything on this earth, I think, would be in the ocean. After all, you think of the Titanic, which sunk in 1912, and this great big ship, it took them 73 years to find at the bottom of the ocean when they found it in 1985. Or Amelia Earhart, she crashed in the ocean, supposedly, and they've been looking for her ever since, and it's been almost 80 years now, and they've been looking and looking across the ocean floor, and they still haven't been able to find her. What if we could take all those sins, that guilt that we have, and hide it at the bottom of the ocean where it would never come back to haunt us? Well, this imagery of throwing your sins into the ocean, it's actually found in Scripture in Micah chapter 7, verses 18 through 20. And that will be our text for our meditation this morning. "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old." So we're told here how thoroughly and how completely God has removed our sins from us. And in light of this complete forgiveness of sins, we recognize that there just is no one else like God. And Micah reflects this when he asks, "Who is a God like you?" And we know the answer to this question. Who is a God like you? We know there is no one else like God. You know, certainly, we are not like God. You can see a strong contrast between us and God in this passage. You know, we would love to hide our sins. We would love to tread them underfoot. We'd love to throw them into the sea, but we can't. Constantly on our thoughts is that lingering guilt over our sin. It's as if that we doubt that God could really forgive all of our sins. We're constantly doubting the forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ. But God truly has passed over our sins, and he has thrown them into the depths of the sea. Now, did you notice how many different ways that Micah restated God's forgiveness in this passage? He passes over transgression. He does not retain his anger forever. He will have compassion on us. He treads our iniquities underfoot. He casts our sins into the depths of the sea. He shows faithfulness to his believers. 6 times, by my count, Micah states and restates this forgiveness from God. Now, when the Bible emphasizes something over and over and over again, like it does in these 3 verses, it's because the Holy Spirit is trying to emphasize a certain point so that we can learn from it. Now, in this particular text, the Holy Spirit seems to be emphasizing our complete forgiveness. He's addressing those doubts that we have about that forgiveness. He's addressing those doubts that cause us to want to hide our sins. He's addressing those doubts that make us feel ashamed when we pray to God. I think that sometimes we tend to minimize Christ's sacrifice. It's like we view everything on a timeline of sorts. It's like we're standing here and we look back and we see that Jesus lived a perfect life on earth, and he willingly offered himself on the cross. And we see that, and we recognize, yeah, we have been saved. We have been forgiven of our sins. And yet, after we recognize this, then we go out, and we sin in some way, like we always do. And then once we do that, we have a hard time being assured of the fact that this sacrifice still pays for this new sin. It's then that doubts start creeping into our minds. It's then that we start feeling so guilty. It's then that we start wondering, can I really be a Christian if I keep sinning like this? It's then that we start feeling ashamed when we pray to God at night. When we have doubts like this, what we're really doubting is the power of the redemption that we have in Christ's blood. In Hebrews chapter 10, we read, "And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." The Holy Spirit doesn't leave any room for us to doubt. You can see in this passage the complete contrast between the Old Testament sacrifice and Jesus' sacrifice. The Old Testament priests would sacrifice daily for sins, and yet those sacrifices didn't pay for any sin. Yet Jesus sacrifices one time, and he paid for all the sins, for all people, for all time. There really is no doubt that all of our sins, even those ones that we feel the worst about, have been forgiven. Again, I'm going to read our text from Micah, and I'd like you to just listen and pick out the different ways that God completely emphasizes his forgiveness for us. "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." Now, there's a lot of picture language used in this verse. It talks about passing over, treading underfoot, throwing into the sea. And when the Bible uses this sort of picture language, it's because the Holy Spirit is using imagery that we can picture in our own minds to assure us of the complete forgiveness that we have from our Father. Now, when you doubt this forgiveness from God, think about these images. Passing over, he has treaded them out, he has thrown them into the sea. The Holy Spirit will use this imagery to convince you and to assure you of your forgiveness. And the last part of our text, it points directly to Jesus Christ, the source of this forgiveness. It says, "You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old." God promised these patriarchs that he would send a Savior from their family line. He told Abraham, "In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." And through Jesus Christ, we have all been blessed. Jesus, he is the fulfillment of this love and this faithfulness. God was faithful to the patriarchs. He sent his Son from them, and from him, their forgiveness has been received. And just as he was faithful to the fathers from the days of old, so he is faithful to you here today. When he promises you that he passes over your transgression, when he promises that he treads your iniquities underfoot, when he promises that he throws your sins into the depths of the sea, there is no reason for us to doubt. God always keeps his promises. God has forgiven you out of love through your Savior, Jesus Christ. So whenever you have doubts that creep in, and you have guilt, when you feel the need to hide your sins, you can look all around for a hiding place. You won't be able to hide your sins in the trash can. You won't be able to bury them underground. You won't even be able to throw them into the sea. Rather, find your hiding place in the blood of Jesus Christ, your Savior. In him, you have been forgiven. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your transgressions from you. Do not doubt the forgiveness that we have in Jesus. He has snatched us out of the jaws of death. He has bought for us eternal life in heaven. Thanks be to God who frees us from any doubts. Amen. Today we'll be singing hymn 373, verses 1, 3, and 4. 373, 1, 3, and 4.